Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great lineup for you today on Thursday, November the 13th, as we make our way through November. Another beautiful morning here in the city of New Orleans. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll spend some time talking about some type of jail reduction plan that's being sent around. Interesting document. Read through it early this morning. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other issues around the city from a crime perspective as well. At 11:30, Jeff Palermo joins us, Louisiana Radio Network news and sports director and WWL LSU columnist. We'll talk about the Fighting Tigers taking on the Arkansas Razorbacks this weekend. And at 11, we will visit with President and CEO of BGR, Bureau of Governmental Research, Becky Mowbray, and we'll talk about what's on the ballot this weekend, bond propositions, charter changes, and we'll also talk about NOLA funding. Jeff Landry, the governor of the great state of Louisiana, will join us. We'll talk about the impact of the shutdown. There's a lot of different states have handled SNAP benefits differently. We'll get an update there. We'll get an update about Louisiana DOGE, their efforts. That issue has come up several times. And we'll talk about whether there's been miscommunication, communication or otherwise, relative to LSU football. A number of sports writers writing stories about LSU or attributing the governor being responsible for the firing of Brian Kelly. He says otherwise. Where is the confusion? So I wanted to start out this morning. I was just talking to Tommy, and I'll say it again. Had a great evening at Dakar NOLA last night. It's in the 3800 block of Magazine. It's one of the Michelin restaurants that was given a nod. And Serene May, the chef there, does an incredible job. It's a tasting menu. We did the wine pairing. We have a group of friends. There's six of us, and we've decided that we're going to make our way through this list come hell to high water to experience it. You know, we all talk about it. We brag about it. We're proud of it. But all of that, to me, doesn't really mean much unless we go experience it, right? So that we can talk about our actual experiences relative to these restaurants that have been mentioned by Michelin. And I think this is going to be a really fun trek for us. And we're throwing in a smattering of other restaurants that we know about, but maybe hadn't been to in like 20 years. And they're still getting raving reviews, albeit it may not be from Michelin, but others. And we just all think it's kind of important to really dig down deep into the experience of the culinary opportunities that we have here in the city of New Orleans. And we've had a lot of fun thus far, and last night was no different. We had a great evening. The wait staff there, second to none, very pleasant, describing these dishes that for me I would say are exotic because it's out of the ordinary. It's a Senegalese-based cuisine, which is very interesting. And the wine pairings were interesting, too, because they were actually from all over the country. And you could tell that there was a lot of effort put into these wine pairings to match up perfectly with each course. Congratulations to Serene and his staff and the incredible job that they're doing there at Dakar NOLA. Check it out, folks. There's an article in this morning's paper by Sophie Kasikov and Blake Patterson. I talked yesterday about one of their articles. It kind of brings up a lot of what's happening relative to the bond commission approving the $125 million short-term loan for the city of New Orleans. And they're having to adopt the budget by December 1st, I think is the date, if my memory serves me correct. And obviously, there's a little bit of push and pull and I guess some struggles trying to pull data together that's meaningful. The mayor-elect said that she does not have a cent to waste, so she's got to get all over this. And I couldn't agree more with her observations. Now, I may part with the transition team and the mayor-elect on this issue, and that's why I want to bring it up. They intend to propose $50 million be budgeted next year for overtime. I find it a little bit odd, and I said yesterday that Mayor Cantrell could be a huge assist by giving this transition team access to a lot of different things relative to the budget in order to determine real numbers that they can put into this budget. My experience is if you budget $50 million, the folks in the administration will figure out a way to spend $50 million. And we know that there were some events that occurred in 2025 that are not going to happen in 2026, more likely than not. Some we can say guaranteed, others not so much. But the reality is that it really takes a look-see now, 60 days in advance of taking office, less one, 59 days now, to hammer down these numbers and to look long and hard and have these departments justify these numbers before we start putting pen to paper. I've said this for weeks now. I know the political realities of this. It's very difficult. But we also know that not only the legislative auditor, the inspector general and others have said that there's no doubt that there's abuses. They already know about it. They've already documented some of these abuses. And obviously, there's also some policies that are in place that are actually working to the detriment of the administration. It would behoove everyone, I think, if some of these policies would be immediately visited and talked about how we go about changing them. One of the abuses that they talked about is that in the NOPD, officers are taking vacation time to go work details. That can't happen. That's got to come to an end. Staffing is first. We don't take vacation to work details. Part of the problem that we're going to see is, and it's probably already there now, and it's why there's a motivation to do this. There are going to be people that are going to be paying some good amounts of money for security during the holiday season. They do it every year. And officers take vacation time sometimes to go work these details. It's hard to staff when you're already understaffed without hitting overtime numbers if you're allowing this practice to occur. The reality is that you've got to be selfish in your approach and make sure that your staffing is there first. Plain and simple. That's a benefit that they have to work details, but it's not a guaranteed. And I know I'm probably making a lot of enemies within the NOPD, but this is what I talk about when I said you got to embrace the consequence. You got to consume political capital. I've never been shy. Ask anybody that ever worked for me. Was never shy about calling folks out. In fact, I'd get a list of people that were making incredible amounts of number every year, usually twice a year, at the sheriff's office. We'd call them into the office. Hey, what's going on? How are you able to work all of these hours within the construct of the policies that we have in place? Explain this to me and justify how you're able to give me 100% when you're giving others a lot of time. And a lot of times we've come to an agreement that that's going to change because it's not in the best interest of the entity. The entity's interest always outweighs the individual. So policies like that have to change. You can't manage an organization that's understaffed by allowing them on a whim to decide and to pick and choose what they are going to do with their time. The restrictions have to be in place. Their ability to make those types of decisions need to be minimized as much as possible. It's not going to be a popular position. But the reality is it's one way that you can immediately impact overtime. All of those other things are secondary to staffing. And then within the organization itself, for example, we adopted policies that we did not go short in the districts. Overtime spent was in the district first, making sure that each beat within the respective districts were in fact manned, because I always believe that first and foremost, the cornerstone of the success of the JPSO was response time. When the public calls and you respond, the public's always going to be behind you. They're going to be your biggest cheerleaders, because that's when they're down and out. That's when they feel vulnerable, right? That's when they're calling upon a service that they don't typically call upon, and it might be the only time in their life that they do. And when you're Johnny on the spot and you respond, it pays back to you as an organization tenfold. And the more believers you have in the organization, the non-believers, the better off you are going to be. But taking a number of what we spent in the previous year, when we're going to be starting possibly as much as $125 million down, we don't know for sure whether or not we're going to have to draw upon all those dollars or not, that math is not going to work very well. The interesting thing about government is that a lot of folks posture themselves and policy themselves to a break-even budget. Well, that doesn't really work very well, right? Especially when you start digging down into the granular details of where you're spending money. So, for example, pick a building, any building that the city owns, that the city occupies, and that they manage. Walk through the building and tell me that that's a Class A building. Tell me that the maintenance has been done. Tell me that all of the things are up to snuff. And even worse, tell me whether or not they are in compliance with the city code. Well, more often than not, the answer to that is going to be no, 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 and no. And the reason is that you have to generate surpluses in your budget to be able to fund the capital expenditures, CapEx, the capital expenditures necessary to keep your properties current. And if you don't think that the state of your property doesn't contribute to the morale of your organization, you just don't understand organizational culture. So the reality is that you need, and this non-for-profit word, I'm not sure what people really believe that is. Not-for-profits run themselves as a for-profit. They have to. The only difference is they're not spinning off dividends and paying stockholders. But internally, in fact, even under GASB, Governmental Accounting Standards Boards, as opposed to FASB, Financial Accounting Standard Boards, 30 years ago, there was a wide delta between the two and how they presented themselves and how you had to present your financials. Almost every 5 years, they're coming closer and closer and closer together, because people recognize that to run government from a financial perspective effectively and efficiently, you are going to report more like FASB, especially when you go to the bond markets, because they're used to looking at data as though it's in the kind of the FASB landscape. When you're looking for loans, when you're a bunch of different activities that are there. So just finding a little bit interesting, you know, about this. And I think that there's an opportunity here, and hopefully, and I really hope that Mayor Cantrell allows it. And they get in, and before we start doing these numbers and throwing out what last year's spend was with little or no oversight, almost everybody agrees that there was little to no oversight, right? That we try to figure out what policies are generating, why we're having this, change those policies, consume political capital early on, and move through this process. And you have to be very parochial in your thinking, quite frankly. Very parochial in your thinking. And these task forces, as it relates to overtime, I know, I've managed this. It ran away from us many times. Many times. Made many mistakes. Learn from those mistakes as to how to best manage overtime. And I can tell you, if you're not looking at it weekly, if you're not looking at your payroll runs weekly right now as it relates to overtime, you're not doing what's necessary to manage it. And when you create a dashboard of what you would expect to see as it relates to overtime within, let's just say the NOPD, within each of the 8 individual districts, and someone's not being called in that's responsible for staffing to justify the outlier week, then you're not managing overtime. This is a crisis, and it requires crisis intervention. And crisis intervention means you're going to be more intrusive, more intuitive about everything that you do in a more real-time basis. And even waiting to look at it on a quarterly basis may be too late. Because the real goal here, folks, is not to draw down the $125 million in its totality. The big success and the party that we would have is if we only drew down 60. And you need to take these remedial actions now and not just rely, well, I got this $125 million I can pull down. No. No. You want to pull down the least amount possible. But that's going to take intrusive behavior, intrusive conduct, and accountability in making these managers. Everybody wants rank. Everybody wants to manage until the time comes to manage. Right? And I love the manager that would walk into your office and say, boss, we got a problem. Okay, what's your solution? And you get the deer in the headlights look, right? Well, wait a minute. You're going to walk into my office with a problem and no solution? If you need to borrow my intellect, if you're afraid to make this decision, then what you're telling me is I don't need you. I could do this on my own. And until they get to a point in time where that begins to be the culture, the landscape in which we justify our spend, it can't just be, well, we don't have enough employees. And now, how are you deploying those individuals? You know, I keep hearing about the snowstorm creating all of this overtime. Why is that? How did that happen? I drove back and forth to the studio during that entire snowstorm event, probably 8 to 10 times. There was nobody on the street. If I saw 3 cars in making that multi-mile trek from Old Metairie to 400 Poydras, it's a lot. I mean, it can't just be, well, we got a snowstorm, so let's just go rack up some overtime. We don't have that luxury. We don't have that pleasure any longer. And no one should have the discretion in order to approve it, quite frankly. Because the only way we'll pull ourselves out of this $160 million hole that we find ourselves in is to be a little bit obnoxious, quite frankly. And if folks working for the city thinks that status quo is going to be where this is going to end up, and you're going to beat down the administration, I'm not so sure that Helena Moreno is going to be on that sheet of music with you. I kind of chuckled the other day. The fire department, they're not reading the room, I don't think. I don't know. Complaining about a washing machine. Now, someone tell me that there's not a couple of $100 somewhere to get a washing machine at a fire district fixed? Really? Now, in the same breath, they say they're ready, willing, and able to stand up and assist the city in this challenge that they have from a budgetary standpoint. Really? Oh, but by the way, we have a couple of washing machines that are down. We go out on calls, and sometimes we have blood soaked into our uniform, and you know there's this necessity for the washing machine. Well, how many uniforms do you have, and do you have enough to carry you through your tour of duty? And is there something wrong with bringing them home and washing them? Or maybe we can figure out a way to get the washing machine fixed. There's a will, there's a way. Just kind of interesting. These little anecdotes that are out there where they really believe that no one's going to have to feel any pain as we get through this process. A lot of folks be in for a rude awakening. Because then I'll say it again, the math has no emotion. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jeff Landry, the governor of the great state of Louisiana. Governor, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
So, Governor, there's been a lot going on over the past couple of weeks, obviously, with the federal government being shut down, as well as the city of New Orleans looking for their $125 million bond issue on short-term revenue bonds to help them get out of the predicament that they're in. And during the course of both of these conversations, you mentioned many times about an initiative that you started called Louisiana DOGE. Let's talk about that for a moment, and what are the top line issues that you're attacking at the state budget level?
So let me bring you all the way back, I guess, almost 10 years ago when I went into the Attorney General's office. One of the first things we did, of course, remember the dire fiscal crisis that the state was in 10 years ago and seemed to have consistently been in up until the last couple of years. And and we instituted our own, we called it the Fiscal Responsibility Project. That's what we did. And a gentleman by the name of Steve Orlando, who's a business owner, came in. He always complains about the amount that government spends. And so I gave him an opportunity to put his money where his mouth is and come in and volunteer his time. And we consistently, over 8 years, stayed within a pretty static budget over at the AG's office. You know, we kind of ate what we killed and were able to withstand a number of the budget reductions that happened during that particular time. And so we took the lessons learned from that and then came into state government as the governor and started working inside the budget with him and brought Steve back in and Taylor. And then we added a couple of more people. And over the last couple of months, it's now almost 2 years, we have seen significant savings. I mean, when we first started the program, we went in and we noticed $1 million worth of cell phone bills that were just not being used. These were cell phones laying around in drawers and whatnot that we were paying for data plans on. We went through the leases, contracts. We then instituted a 10% efficiency program inside the entire cabinet, where we challenged our cabinet members to go in and try to find a 10% reduction in their budget. And of course, some of them, it's pretty challenging. So like if you're the LDH secretary and your budget is, you know, $18 billion, 10% is a lot of money. But we also did some things when the DOGE effort at the federal level came into play. We were actually one of the only states that actually worked with that DOGE office, and we scoured and filtered through our Medicaid records, and we ended up with like a $70 million savings on that because we kicked people off who were not in the state of Louisiana, people who were illegal aliens and were receiving benefits, and even some of those folks that were deceased that were still receiving benefits on them. And so, you know, again, and we just met. I met with the cabinet actually yesterday, so your time is pretty good. And we have a very, very great story that we're going to tell right at the end of the year, which I think is going to be eye-opening. And so, yeah, we're just trying to find efficiencies inside of our state government so that we can be responsible with the taxpayers' money.
I have been very surprised and mystified by sometimes the public's reaction to gaining efficiencies, making cuts where necessary, identifying abuses, and then providing remedial action. I mean, we've seen this move across the country as it relates to DOGE efforts at the federal level. I'm certain that you've heard the criticisms of the DOGE efforts at the state level as well. I think that's a fiduciary obligation of an elected official to make sure that you're running the leanest, meanest organization possible, right?
Oh, look, I do. And the other thing, too, is that one of the things that we're finding, I think this is what's important as well, is that we've been doing the same thing over and over again, and some of those things are completely outdated. And some of the savings that we're taking, we're recognizing, we're then trying to plow back into technology that creates a structural change for so that those savings become more permanent. I mean, look, I remember when I was at AG's office, I walked in and we were still using like Windows 95. I mean, like, and we were in 2015. You don't know. I mean, it's like ridiculous. I mean, the efficiencies that you get using technology today, if you're not taking advantage of that, you're wasting the taxpayers' money. Look, we're doing it. We were the first governor finally said, you know what, we're not going to kick the can down the road over at OMB. And we're actually putting in place a platform on a way that we renew and get our driver's license and register our vehicles. And we haven't seen the nightmares of the past because we're on a system. We're currently patched up on a system that was built in the 1970s. And so all those things are things that we're doing to bring Louisiana into a modern era. And we're not just saying, oh, just give me more money and we're doing it. We're trying to, again, find efficiencies inside the department and then institute those particular savings so that we actually have structural changes. And I got to tell you, the cabinet has been just great in doing that. And I think the public is going to start to, and they've already started to see some of those particular changes. Look, when I came in, the OMV platform that they wanted us to use to get a new one, they wanted $100 million. And we were able to negotiate that down to $30 million. You know, sometimes I think it's just a matter of getting to the table and actually negotiating these things out and just not signing it up because you just need it.
And for the benefit of the listening audience, OMV is the Office of Motor Vehicles, where you go and you get your license renewed, register your vehicles, and all of that. And historically, there's always been fairly long lines. A lot of great people that work there, but as you said, when you have antiquated technology, it's hard to make it work. Let's pivot real quick. The federal government shutdown obviously has impacted states across this country. What is the state of the state of Louisiana as it relates to some of these federal programs, SNAP being one of them, and your thoughts about that and what y'all have done?
Look, I think it's important for everyone to recognize that the state of Louisiana is the only state in the country where SNAP benefits, where no one went without some sort of benefit. No one. Okay. We worked with the legislature to first categorize the elderly and the disabled and then children. And we said, look, if it goes a whole month, we think we can cover them. And then we did segregate out the able-bodied people. Why? Because we could send those able-bodied people to food banks, and we encourage them to get off of the program if they really didn't need it and seek out some of the great job opportunities that are out there. But, you know, Lou, I think the important part is that our ability to show that kind of extreme compassion would not have been possible had we not done the DOGE efforts that you just talked about. I mean, the ability for this, for LDH to recognize the cost savings they had helped to further implement the ability of the state to take care of some of those benefits, and then the legislature responded accordingly. So we've gone – here's an interesting thing, too, and I've watched this. We will most likely be – the first administration and this legislature, the first legislature, to go four solid years without a fiscal crisis in 35 years.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Think about that. I mean, that's pretty astounding. And I think it's due to the hard work that the legislature and I have done. It, of course, we've been blessed by the great economic opportunities and the robust job creations that have occurred because of the projects that we've been able to land here in the state of Louisiana. And so, like, right now, Louisiana is looking towards a very, very bright and prosperous future.
When we talk about the ACA subsidies being permanent. What does that actually mean monetarily to the state of Louisiana, and how we, the construct of the program that we're managing today? I know a lot of that is going to be a federal responsibility, but there is some that kind of slides off and shades off on state government, right?
Yeah, and you know, I have not been able to quite effectively wrap my arms around what that impact is going to be. That's the next topic for our discussion. We've just been kind of drowning in a food stamp program crisis that we finally righted. And so Bruce Greenstein and I and the LDH team, who, by the way, they're doing a fabulous job, Jumarento, Bruce, that whole group out there, all of the folks that worked on this, did an outstanding job. Like I said, we were the only state under which there was no crisis, where no one actually went without the ability to access food. And so our next topic is going to be, what exactly is that impact going to have? How do we do it? Here's what we know. We know that we want to take people from dependence to independence. And we know that the best way to do that is to create more job opportunities and to raise the standard of living in Louisiana. And the $70 billion plus of jobs, $70 billion worth of private investment that we brought, which equates now it equates to 114,000 new job opportunities open in the state of Louisiana. And per capita, that puts Louisiana as number one in job opportunities in the country. And so those are things that give people to move from dependence to independence. And they're not just low-wage jobs. They're great-paying jobs. They require some skill sets. And of course, we're working through our community college system and with our high schools to try to really catch up on that as well. And so, again, that will help us to offset a potential ACA crisis.
No, absolutely, for sure. No doubt about it. Let's pivot again because we have limited time and we appreciate your time. The city of New Orleans goes up to the bond commission asking for the $125 million. There was a little angst and anxiety at the beginning of that process. Are you pleased with the outcome?
I'm pleased. I think it's important to recognize that had I not sent a letter to the treasurer several weeks ago, we wouldn't have taken the deep dive that we absolutely needed to. And I knew it may have caused some anxiety, but it was something that needed to be done because we wanted to understand exactly what was going on. And I think that getting them an opportunity to go before the Fiscal Review Committee and the Fiscal Review Committee signing off saying, okay, look, under this plan, we feel comfortable letting the Bond Commission take this up. And if the Bond Commission passes it, we're fine. And I think that the way that it's structured is probably the most responsible way that we could. The thing that I want to know is, where is the money? Like, why did the city get into this hole? And I think that just getting a fiscal administrator in would not have answered that question. I think that where we are right now is that the legislative auditor is going to go back in and going to report to us where the money was spent. I think the taxpayers of this state and the citizens in New Orleans as well deserve to know that answer. And I think that over, you know, between now and next year, we've put the city in a position under which they can make the payroll. But we know that they have to make some budgetary realignments. We want them to be as responsible as we've been at the state level. And we want them to be independent as well. We don't want them coming to the Bond Commission and us to have to, you know, approve a loan.
You have made a commitment early on in your administration in helping the city out. I don't know about you, but this particular administration that exists today, the last day of that administration is actually on my birthday, January 11th, and I've said that it might be my best birthday ever, not to make light of the fact. But I have to imagine that your confidence level of the incoming administration is a lot more than it's been of the previous.
Yeah, look, I'm hopeful that it's not only a new mayor, but a new council as well, to a large part. And certainly with the mayor being coming from the council, I would hope that there's a lot more continuity and cooperation between those two branches. And again, I think that what we did yesterday in the Bond Commission gives them an opportunity. I mean, look, the money that we gave them is being checked and held by the legislative auditor. We're making sure that the invoices and the payroll that's being paid is done so properly, and so that the chance of us getting to a point next year under which the money disappeared again and they need more is limited.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go to a topic that has been bannered about. I'm not sure where the truth lies, but a lot of sports writers around the country are saying that you, Jeff Landry, as the governor of the state of Louisiana, personally fired Brian Kelly. There's been a fallout of that. Your assessment of that situation and your role?
Yeah, look, I think it's, first of all, I did not fire Brian Kelly. I answered that question emphatically in front of the sports writer that was at the press conference when we announced the great work we were doing for the food stamp program under the Schumer shutdown. And I didn't. And I don't have the power to fire the coach. The governor doesn't have the power to do that. But neither does the athletic director unilaterally. Okay. And of course, that's a question that's up for litigation now. And so I got to be careful exactly how I answer that question. But either way, the only reason that I stepped into that, two reasons that I stepped into that breach was, number one, we didn't have a president in place, which I wish we'd have had that done in the summer. But neither here nor there, we got one today. Number two, was the fact that the contract, which I spent a lot of time on that Sunday pouring through the details of that contract, led me to believe that it's a terrible contract, which is why, you know, I think the AD left him and this, the Board of Supervisors came to an agreement that it was time for him to go. And I think it was. Because when you looked at that contract, it was terrible. Knew it. It left the taxpayers on the hook for $54 million. I don't care what anybody says that it's never happened and that taxpayers have never paid a bill. And I hope that taxpayers don't pay this one. The sad news, though, is that if no one steps up or a group of people don't step up to pay, and we got to pay $54 million, then it's going to be on the backs of the taxpayers to pay that. Now, they're not going to be happy if that happens. I won't be
no,
either.
Not at all.
Right. And I'll give you an example. Let me show you the nefarious provisions in this contract, okay? Like I was going back through it the other day. Let me tell you something. There is a clause in this contract that said that if Brian Kelly left on his own before the end of the contract, he would owe liquidated damages or he would have to pay LSU a penalty for leaving. That's fair, because if we fired him with no cause, we have to pay a penalty, right? Then yeah. There's a – you got to do a break?
Go ahead. We got another minute. Go ahead.
So look, there's a clause in it that says if the AD is not there, that Brian Kelly could leave without any liquidated damages. Think about that. I mean, how nefarious is that? The AD can leave, and the coach can leave with him, and LSU just sits there with no penalties. It goes to show you that there was a lot more at play when that contract was first written than meets the eye. And I think that the more we get into that, the more people are going to recognize that the moves that we made at LSU, which were not pretty, were absolutely necessary.
Yeah, I'd like to get $54 million, Governor, you asked me to leave.
Well, you know, I tell you, it'd be tempting if you showed up offering me $54 million as well. No, nope.
I was going to ask you that question, but I didn't think it was going to be fair. So.
I'd have to think long and hard.
Sometimes the webs we weave, Mike.
Yeah,
the webs we weave.
I wouldn't offer that to my wife now.
Well, Governor, we know that you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate it, and have a great week.
Okay, take care. Have a great weekend. All right.
Thank you, Governor. That's Governor Jeff Landry of the great state of Louisiana. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.